You guys know that I'm a great reader, and I read an awful lot of stuff. A lot of worship stuff and teaching stuff, but some novels as well. And one of my favorite books is called The Robe. It's a story about a centurion who oversaw the crucifixion of Jesus and who won his robe in that dice game at the foot of the cross and subsequently brought it to Rome to Caesar. And it was made into a movie in, get this, 1953. That's a long time ago. That's like 60-odd years ago. How many of you remember that movie? Remember seeing it with Richard Burton and Victor Mature? That's a long time ago. And this centurion, Marcellus, he was sent back to Jerusalem then after he showed the robe to Caesar to find out more about this Jesus who had worn the robe. Well, in that story, in that book, there's a section that's all about a girl who was paralyzed and couldn't walk. But she had a beautiful singing voice. And every evening in good weather, she was carried out to the village green after the evening meal. And she would sing songs and sing praise to God and sing psalms and just really worship the Lord. And everybody in the village would worship with her. Now, the centurion, he was curious as to why she could sing like that from her sick bed. He'd heard stories about how Jesus had healed a lot of different people, and he wondered if the girl had ever met Jesus. So he asked, if Jesus had healed other people, why hadn't he healed her? And the girl smiled sweetly, and she says, "Oh, but he did heal me. He healed me of bitterness. He healed me of anger, of self-pity. And he gave me something more precious than the ability to walk. He gave me the gift of loving people. He gave me back my voice to sing praises to his God for his goodness to everyone." Now, this is a very significant portion of that story, for it tells how healing can take many forms. And even though it was a novel written by Lloyd C. Douglas, who was a minister of the gospel, and he was also born in my home state of Indiana, yay, it carries a great message of hope for everyone, especially in this section on the singing girl. Sometimes we don't always see the end result of our prayers because we're looking for things to appear as we want them. Who wouldn't want to be released from a paralyzed state? We need to remember, though, that the scriptures tell us that all things work to good for those who love the Lord and for whom God loves. And again, in all things, give thanks, for this is the will of God who loves you. Well, now, we don't necessarily want to give thanks for the mess, but we can give thanks in the mess, and that's what God's will is. So remember that when you find yourself in a muddle. Sometimes our state does not change when we bring it to God. Remember Jesus' prayer in the garden before his arrest? He says, "Take this cup away from me if it be your will." But then he followed that up with this: "Nevertheless, not my will, but yours be done." See, he was the perfect example of how to live in the will of God, by faith. Even at that point of his dying, he still had the faith that God would receive him and his spirit, because that's what he said: "I commend my spirit into your hands." And like that song that we sometimes sing, "You came, I knew that you would come," from Lazarus's perspective, you see, he went to his grave believing that God would save him. And of course he did. Nothing on earth looked like that was going to happen. He was too sick to survive, and Jesus didn't even show up while he was laying on his deathbed, nor during the days that he lay in the tomb. But Lazarus believed that everything would be all right. It was his dying faith that I think brought Jesus on the scene that day. It was faith that Jesus commented on in several of the healing miracles that happened. It was faith that he commented on to the thief that was crucified next to him. It was that believing in what he said was true that he honored in the story of this paralyzed girl who sang. It was her faith in Jesus' restorative power to heal her soul that gave her back her voice and released her from the anger and the bitterness and the self-pity that she carried for years. Nothing in her circumstances changed. She was still paralyzed. She was still dependent on others to do for her. She didn't feel healed in her body. But everything had changed for her. Now, we sometimes get to thinking that we're not really saved because we can't perform miracles. Or because other people see gold dust and all we see is dust. Or because we can't do this, that, or the other thing. Well, let me ask you a question. Is it your performance and ability that you're basing your feelings on? If so, you will always be disappointed. For it's not our changed behaviors or outlooks that save us or even point to our salvation, but it is our faith in what Jesus said about our salvation. Now, I want you to go home and look up these scriptures. And one of them is, I will not cast out a broken reed. That's not correct English, but that's the gist of it. I won't cast out a broken reed. Jesus said, I will never leave you or forsake you. He says, I've engraved you on the palm of my hand. He said, I am in you and you are in me and we are in the Father. And then Paul's words, neither height nor depth nor things on earth nor under the earth shall ever be able to separate us from his love. Now, do y'all believe that? Yeah? Yeah? Okay, good. Our salvation comes from God and our steadfast belief that what he said was true. Now, I've asked this question before, but I ask it again. When did salvation happen? When did salvation actually happen? No. No. Salvation happened before the foundation of the world. When God said, let us make man in our image. That us was Father God, the Creator. It was God, the Holy Spirit, who holds all things together. And Jesus, who brings about our salvation before mankind was ever made. The Savior was there before there was people. The Savior was there before there was sin. The Savior was always there. And in 1 Peter chapter 1, we read this, for as much as you know that you were not redeemed with corruptible things like silver and gold from your vain conversation received by tradition from your fathers, but with the precious blood of Christ as a lamb without blemish and without spot, who was truthfully foreordained before the foundation of the world, but was manifest in these last days for you. So our salvation was decided and sealed before the foundation of the world and delivered through Jesus and his redeeming work before we were ever a twinkle in our mama's eyes. So where's your faith for healing, for your salvation, for any request that you make before God? Are we going to be like Paul? I love this. Are we going to be like Paul described the people in Galatians chapter 3? He says, oh, you foolish Galatians, who's bewitched you that you should not obey the truth, before whose eyes Jesus Christ has been evidently set forth, crucified among you? This I would learn from you. Did you receive the Spirit by the works of the law or by the hearing of faith? Are you so foolish, having begun in the Spirit, are you now made perfect by the flesh? By how you feel? By the things that you do or don't do? Doesn't matter what we think or feel. If God said it, that settles it. It's our faith in God that gets us saved, and our faith in his saving power that keeps us saved. Do you believe that? Yes. And all the rest, the changed lives, the miracles, the healings, All those things come from and stem out of our faith in God and His Word. Do you believe and have faith that you're saved? Yes? Then you are. Do you not believe and have faith that you're saved? You still are. Your believer just needs to catch up with current events. That's all. Now, I shared something with our small group a couple of weeks ago, and it's a principle that's been one of my foundational and core beliefs over the years. And it harkens back to the message that I gave a couple of weeks ago on the sower and the harvest parable. The good seed that's sown on good ground sprouts and brings forth a good harvest. And the thing that I shared with our group was very simple. It was about forgiveness. Forgiveness is all about the will, not about feelings. Once you make the decision to forgive someone, just because Jesus said we should, then you can write that date down. The next time your emotions get all riled up in your imagination about that person, you take control of those thoughts and you point right back to that date. You say to your emotional reactions, listen, you, I forgave that on such and such a date. It's under the blood of Jesus, forgiven, so don't you be offering that scenario to me again. It is forgiven, done, dusted, and that's the end of it. That's the truth. That's how you stay in a forgiving state of mind. Make it a decision, and you stick to it. And the same principle applies to our salvation. You can remind your emotions that at this point in time, you accepted the salvation that God put into motion before He even created people. And the next time your mind or your emotions get all riled up and you start hearing that lion whisper of the enemy, oh, but you don't act saved. You don't even feel saved. So you must surely not be saved. You can look him squarely in the eye and you can tell him to shut his lion mouth. You can tell him salvation happened before the foundation of the world. And I accepted that fact on such and such a date, so I am saved. And I accepted that fact, and I don't care what circumstances or feelings say. God loves me, and He's already done the work of my salvation. Like the girl in that book, her salvation, her never-ending praise for God, did not depend on her physical healing or on any other outward manifestation, but solely on her faith that what Jesus said was true. She didn't have to do anything. God made the changes Himself. He took out the bitterness, the anger, and gave her back a sweet, innocent ability to praise Him. So what about those of us who've lived quiet lives? No major sinning episodes or eras of sinfulness. What changes should we expect so that our salvation becomes real in our lives? Will we want to read our Bibles more? Maybe. Probably. Will we stop sinning? Well, if we never sinned much before, how will that change? Probably not much there either. What will change, however, over time, is our appreciation of God's grace, His mercy, His provision. It may come in the little things. A parking space when we can't really afford the time to go hunting all around the houses, for one. I love it when God gives me parking spaces. That just thrills my soul. It may come in the faces of your children when they come in wonder at some marvelous new discovery that they've made. And we can appreciate God's hand in that discovery. We can see that like the little child sees it. It may come in unexpected financial blessings. It may come in the voice of wisdom when we're in the middle of a muddle and we don't know what to do. It may come in the beauty of a gorgeous sunrise or a sunset. It may come in the peace that passes our understanding when we're facing tremendous stress. There may never be a dramatic Damascus Road transformation like Paul had. But one thing I do know is that our salvation, our being saved, is not always a one-time cataclysmic, earth-shattering event. It is a lifetime of believing in God's mercy and grace. We may miss the mark from time to time and fall way short of the glory that God has intended for us to walk in. But that is exactly the time that we need to remember the words that our God spoke. I will never leave you or forsake you. I have engraved you on the palm of my hands. I am in you and you are in me and we are in the Father. Those things are the absolute truth. Do you believe that? Amen. It's by our faith in these things that our salvation occurs. Faith, not necessarily lightning bolts or earth-shattering revelations that knock us sideways, but that still quiet voice of knowing. So don't let worldly teaching or thinking get inside your brain and tell you that everything should change when you get saved. For some of us, that doesn't happen. For some of us, yes, deliverance from addictions happens. Lifestyles completely switch gears. But for most, it's that transformation of the heart that grows day by day from a cool, well, maybe there's a God, to a burning passion that wants to tell the world, yes, there is a God and he loves you. There is a God and he does love you. Our girl in the story changed from bitter to sweet, but stayed paralyzed. It was her heart that Jesus was after. And it is our hearts that Jesus is after as well. Things in our physical lives may not change, but our hearts will grow with a burning love for him as we allow Jesus to show us the way to the Father. When my son Patrick had that horrible car crash in 2006, he fought for a couple of years with horrible pain in his leg and eventually had to have it amputated just below the knee. I prayed for weeks before that for him to have the faith that he would be healed and thereby save his leg. I begged God to pour his faith into him for healing. But one day, just before the surgery was planned, the Lord got up next to me and he whispered, I'm much more interested in saving his soul than in saving his leg. Let me do what I do best. I love him even more than you do. Now, while I wasn't entirely happy about that, I knew that God had and still has a better plan for my son. Haven't seen the fruition of it yet, but I know that it's coming because God told me that he loved him more than I do. And I know that for all of you, that's all of you here and anybody listening, he loves you with a perfect love. And I want you to rest in that knowledge, to rest and be at peace regarding your salvation. And if you need a specific date to refer to, the next time doubts come knocking at your door, use today's date, November 21st, 2021. Forget about any doubts from the past. Today is the first day of the rest of your salvation. Hallelujah. Whoo! That's right. And if you have any doubts about where you stand, you can pray with me now. And you can say these things. Father, I know that your plan of salvation started before the foundation of the world, according to Genesis, when you said, let us make man in our image. That image includes Jesus, who is our Savior. And I accept that forever salvation plan as mine today again. And I thank you and praise your name for being with me in grace, mercy, provision, healing, sanctification, and wisdom. I thank you for the blood of Jesus that was shed to purchase that salvation. And I will point to this day whenever any doubts start to creep in. Today, I am saved by faith, by love, by grace, and by mercy. Amen. All right, now stand up on your holy feet. Let's give God a shout of praise and hallelujah for what he's done. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord.